is Christopher Lane. I'm vice president of the City Park for Everyone Coalition. Our immediate goal is to seek to stop the construction of the golf course and removal of the fencing around the wild area and restore the public's ability to access that space. In the long term, we have larger goals.
My name is Quill. I'm the official secretary, I guess, for the City Park for Everybody Coalition. We've been working hard at this for a week and a half, and as you said, we're at Bud Rips tonight for the Werewolf Full Moon pub crawl.
I'm Anne-Marie Coviello, and I'm an ardent supporter of the group, the coalition of City Park for Everyone Coalition. What they're doing is really important work. I've spent a great deal of time. One of my favorite things that's come from getting to know other people who are passionate about this part of the park is that they have a wonderful name for it, which is the Secret Sidewalks. And it really aptly describes this amazing piece of City Park between Harrison and Fillmore, where it actually was, in fact, a golf course for many, many years, but it was allowed to become fallow after the storm, and it's just a very charming experience in an urban park because you can really get lost, yet there's paths, there's actually paved sidewalks, so the hiking and walking is really amazing. There's pelicans and egrets and herons and terns and all kinds of migratory birds, and it's just a precious, precious resource, and we don't want to see it turned into a golf course.
So historically, that space has been golf course. However, in the last nearly 10 years, it's been wild space. It's been generally open to the public.
So, Chris, what would you say to someone who says, well, golf is what pays for City Park, and they need golf to pay the bills?
Well, I would say that historically, before Katrina, golf was a revenue generator for the City Park. However, the economic conditions in the city have changed, the population has changed, and if you look at the existing market for golf in New Orleans, you'll find that there are already 11 golf courses in the metropolitan area. Several of them have been losing money, and one in particular has had to actually have a state bailout. Audubon Golf Course, which is in Audubon Park, right next to Tulane University, has been losing money for 5 years now. That's okay. It's a revenue loss leader for Audubon Park, and they want that golf course, so they're taking it on the chin.
They have a property tax millage to.
They do have a property. Yeah, they have a millage. They have a tax.
Audubon's doing okay.
They're doing okay, and I would argue also that City Park seems to be doing okay. They've got a lot of new concessions. If you're in the lower part of the park, you see that there's lots of people. There's lots of people who are paying entrance fees or so forth, visiting morning call, and all that generates revenue for the park. And it really, the lower part of the park is doing fantastic. I'm not even sure that they really need an additional revenue stream. That being said, if we compare this planned golf course to its nearest existing neighbor, there's the pro-level golf course that's over on the West Bank. That pro-level golf course recently, in the last, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, required a state bailout of $30 million.
The Tournament Players Club, right?
Yes, exactly. And they've got a very, you know, prominent and PGA-level tournament that goes there, and it brings in a lot of tax revenues to the city, and so I think that's probably why the state decided to bail it out.
The Zurich Classic.
For some reason, City Park seems to be under the impression that they're going to be able to steal the Zurich Classic from that golf course, which I'm not sure is really going to happen, because there's going to be lots of West Bank politicians who don't want to see that happen. I don't really see that there has been a lot of solid economic study as to whether or not golf is really going to benefit City Park. This is a $24 million golf course that they're proposing. There's FEMA money. There's money directly coming from the state. Then there's some private interests that have donated money. The golf course, is, as far as I understand it, is going to be funded, run by a private corporation that is going to have its it's cut first before any of the revenue gets to go back to City Park. So if the golf course doesn't actually generate revenue in the future, it's quite likely that the public at large will end up paying for it. Again, as I said, there's $10 million of state funds that are going to go into the golf course. And I also like to just quickly speak about that $10 million of state funds. We're in the middle of a budget crisis in Louisiana. We have a $1.5 billion budget shortfall. The governor has proposed cutting something on the order of $400 million, $500 million out of state universities. However, that $10 million budget item is not on the table to be cut.
Well, it's a really important part of what's happening in New Orleans now, is that we knew this during the crisis of Hurricane Katrina and the subsequent carpet bagging kind of arrival of these so-called entrepreneurs, a lot of them people posing as do-gooders or posing as involved in trying to rebuild for positive means, but the reality is there are people who typically have tried to privatize the commons. So we've seen that especially with our schools. Our schools are now majority charter, and these charter operators have very little oversight, very little community input. They consistently ignore the will of families and community members and educators and students. So that's a piece of it. We've seen charity hospitals sold off, and all of our hospitals have been privatized. And most importantly for this golf course issue is that a private organization, which is presumably a not-for-profit foundation, yet is very well connected in many business entities, is the Bayou District Foundation. And they redeveloped the St. Bernard Housing Project and what is a beautiful rebuild at Columbia Park, and yet also has significant issues with the way they treat their tenants. Their tenants are treated in rather harsh and draconian ways, and if you step out of line, according to the guidelines of Columbia Park, you can be put out very easily. And for some reason, they have been very stuck on this model that they would have the redeveloped housing project and the golf course. The model came from Atlanta, and they're really committed to this whether or not it works. And my question is, who's benefiting from this? If the people of New Orleans don't want this golf course, why is this so-called not-for-profit foundation stuck on it? And who is benefiting? Who is going to get the contract to rebuild this golf course? This is FEMA money. It's public money. What is the process used to get community input? These are all questions that are on the table for the activists who are getting really vocal and getting really active. We're not going to take this lying down. We're going to make sure that our voices are heard, and we're going to try our very best to stop this golf course.
Who's making a decision about the golf course, and how's that decision been made, and how do you feel about the public input in that?
The board is comprised of 35 members. 10 of those members are appointed by state and local offices, which is normal for a board of a public entity. However, the remaining 25 members of the board are quote-unquote elected. And here's how an election to the board of City Park works. First, a candidate has to be nominated by a board member, and then after that, they have to be elected to the board. And the election to the board happens by vote of this sitting board. Therefore, the board itself is essentially kind of a club of the members that sit on the board, because they nominate people that they know, and then they vote on them. Hence, the last time I was at a board meeting, I looked at the composition of the board out of 35 people. And let's just back up and also just recognize we live in a city that, as I said, about 60-odd% African American. It's about 7% Vietnamese. The composition of the board, 34 out of 35 members are white, 75% of the board is male, and although I don't know them all personally, they all looked like they were from wealthy backgrounds. And that's really not democratic, and it's not representative, and it's not reflective or accountable to the city at large. That's a serious problem.
I remember vividly the old golf courses. There were 4 golf courses in City Park, and I've always been a fan of City Park. I've been wandering around City Park and for decades. and it used to be quite ugly. And one of the ironies of the this board of commissioners, the city park commissioners, is that they've gotten so much right. The redo of Big Lake out in front of the museum in the front part of the park near Esplanade and Carrollton is so extraordinary. It used to be the ugliest place in the park because it was all golf holes. All around Big Lake was the south course, and it was desolate. It was barren. It was dead grass and old golf balls. Nobody ever used it, and the lake was just like filled with trash and algae. And they've completely reimagined that. And now they want to build more golf courses. No one was using them. I mean, maybe a handful of people. It's a step backwards on all kinds of levels. Environmentally, ecologically, financially, and most importantly, this concept of New Orleans for the people, by the people. Let us have input. Let us decide what happens in our own city. When people came back and rebuilt, I rebuilt two houses. It totally galvanized me. It made me want to take care of the city. People want to take care of the city. Let us help take care of the city. It cannot just be the elite. It can't just be the 1% making these decisions.